everyone, and welcome to the Fan Fight Podcast. I am Danielle Riendo, and I am joined, as always, by Fan Bites, expert of punching and good costumes, LB Hunk Tears.
Hello. What's up? I'm so not an expert of punching.
Oh,
I
yes
am
you
an
are.
Expert in good good costumes, though, but I am awestruck by punching.
It's
hello.
It's a lot. It's a lot. And we have a very special guest today. We have an expert in being, let's see, John, I actually have no idea what
you're... I'm an expert in. Neither
no,
do I.
That
neither
was not where I was. I was looking for like what style of fighting you enjoy watching and
seated,
being an expert
seated,
in.
Seated fighting is my specialty. kind of bicycle kicking in front of me to push doors open. That's my style of fighting.
I like that. That seems fucking awesome. I don't know. I think that's great. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was my pleasure to be asked.
Yeah, it's we'll get to it because, of course, on this podcast, we always do, at least usually, obviously we have some special occasions, but typically we do a pro wrestling segment and an MMA segment, and we all kind of share in the love and glory of both of these kinds of art forms. And John was asked here because I happen to know that John watched a UFC card for the first time in a very long time recently.
Yeah, really.
And I was just excited by that because it feels like maybe I'm infecting some of y'all with this MMA bug that I have. And as an MMA zombie, that's my due diligence, you know, is to infect other people, just as LB has infected me with the a burgeoning love and appreciation of pro wrestling, especially LB in the fight that you chose for us today. Do you want to set this up? This Nyla Rose and Hiroko Shida? I want to make
Hikaru
sure.
Hikaru Shida.
Hikaru, sorry. Shida.
That's fine.
Thank you.
Yeah. So this was a Double or Nothing on Memorial Day weekend. So this is very recent now?
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Awesome.
And this was Nyla Rose defending the AEW Women's Championship against Hikaru Shida. Double or Nothing is like the kind of like the first official AEW event. It was supposed to be in Vegas, which is why it has like a gambling theme.
oh, good. Okay. That makes sense.
And yeah. I have so much to say about that because I had not seen an instant of Double or Nothing. So this is very funny to me.
Nice.
But instead, because of coronavirus, they had it in Jacksonville, Florida.
sure. Okay. Yeah.
In the practice stadium or the practice place the Jacksonville Jaguars.
It's basically the training facility for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay.
It's like close
that's where they
to
have
the,
their shows now.
It's kind of close to the stadium, but it's basically a venue attached to the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because they're owned by the same people, AEW and the Jags.
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know
as they're called.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how they got their billionaire. Like WWE has their billionaire, and AEW actually has their own billionaire.
Much more billionaire.
Yeah, much more billionaire.
Much richer billionaire.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because the millennial boy of the Khan family is a big wrestling nerd.
So it's just like, sorry, the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. I almost said Rise, but I was like, I was going for Glow. But it's like, okay, so he's the Bash. Gotcha.
He is the Bash. He's absolutely Bash.
Nice.
Actually, he makes Bash look pretty cool.
Wow, okay.
He makes Bash look like a pretty, like, cool, smooth guy.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like, he's just got he like very clearly loves wrestling.
Yeah.
But he like you do get the sense that he's just like, I have these very big action figures now and they're my toys to play with. Like, that's the vibe I get from Tony Khan at all times.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Okay. I mean, I don't love that because that's not billionaires are bad. I mean, we say that on this podcast. I just that attitude made me giggle, perhaps in a very Bash way. So, yeah, there we go.
Yeah. I also don't think he has, like, a cocaine robot.
Which is sad, really. You know.
I mean, Like, okay, as like knowing, I love wrestling.
Yeah.
And because I love wrestling, I want cocaine and wrestling to be very far away from each other.
Oh, no, I agree. Right. I agree. It was more the,
I do love that robot.
The robot itself is the thing there for me. But yes, I understand. That's a very reasonable
As I was saying it, I realized, I was like, wait a second. Danielle is probably not a proponent of athletes using as much cocaine as they
want. I don't want them to use much of anything other than weed. Like, I'm pretty much like, please use weed as much as possible, as much as you like, and then maybe not anything else. Thanks.
I love the character of hyper sportsmanship, Danielle, but loves cocaine. Is like, no, do all the coke you want, but don't break the rules, please.
And don't be mean. Like, yeah, that'd be a little weird.
That's like a really good character.
It's
though.
A good character. It's the all cocaine fighting league. Just everyone is keyed up like the entire time. Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Oh God,
the number of like high concept ideas that people would come up with and then try to like, no, this is the best idea. This You're best. Genius.
God, I'm going to try to, yeah. I'm going to try to run through the cage. I don't know.
You need more robots, son. You need more robot. Get the coke robot. Like, it's just like, no, it's not good. It's not good. It's not good.
Well,
but this match was great.
None of that happened in this match.
Yeah, sorry. Exactly. Sorry.
This match was very good. Why are you sorry? Me and John are the ones
who are attempting strange bits.
We are the ones who are sorry. Don't be. But I loved this match, actually. I didn't watch all of Double or Nothing because I was very depressed that weekend. Sure. Because there were just all of a sudden multiple wrestler deaths. And it was a very, very sad weekend.
Man, I'm just going to go out there. Bummer summer, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did like, you watch that video? Just
fucking
of all
front
this-
to back.
Yeah.
Maybe you. It sounds like somebody didn't start their day watching the video of racist statues being taken down set to Enya. Because I think the summer is actually pretty great.
Yeah. I think it's turning around. If you know, it's turning around.
The 2020 redemption arc.
Yeah. I mean, we started to see shades of the turn, and now, like statues going into the sea to Enya is very good. I have to admit that. Yeah.
2020 face turn.
Yeah. You know.
Was this the first Nyla Rose match y'all watched?
For the show, yes.
For me, ever. Yeah.
Oh, what a treat.
I think it's one of her best ones.
I might be in love, actually.
What a treat. Yeah. I have a lot to say about Nyla Rose. Oh, you might
be in
love?
I might be in love. I might be in love. Yeah.
Wait, I want to hear about that.
Yeah, please.
I just loved everything she did. I loved all the faces she made. I took notes. I did the thing where I took notes as I was watching it. And like got very excited, and I did the thing also where it's me and I put a lot of like exclamation marks and things in capital letters, and I put like this walkout, and I was so excited, and like just Rose coming out, Nyla Rose coming out and just like posturing and walking through the like fire, like the line of fire that was put up there. Yeah. I'm sure there's like an actual term for that, like torches or whatever it was, like line of torches.
The shorthand is pyro, just generally.
Gotcha. All right.
You just call it pyro.
Spots,
but yeah.
And pyro. Gotcha. All right. I'm starting to learn these things. Just like the faces she made. I just wanted to like put my hands on her face and kiss her face and be like, I love your face so much. You are just like mugging in the most beautiful way. It's so much fun. There was one time she made this incredible face when she was in like side control over Sheeta. Like she's just like in side control, just like using her whole body, her whole weight. She just looks up like, yeah. And it was just awesome. It was awesome. She has the best face. Yeah.
She gives off like the most, I love being mean energy, mm-hmm. which is like my favorite, one of my favorite kinds of energy for a heel to have, especially like a heel whose thing is like being bigger than their opponents.
Sure.
She just looks like she's like, this is what she's been waiting her whole life to do, is just like be like wear a cool outfit and be mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is something I really respond to positively.
It's a very good vibe for a heel to have. And I guess The thing I wanted to say with, I don't want to be too navel-gazy, but like one of the things that, you know, in when wrestling promotions get started, it's often discussed that like the only way you really learn certain things is by going through the WWE system of like knowing where the cameras are and like always being aware of kind of the mics and all the stuff. And it, you know, AEW is a very like polished thing with a lot of ex-WWE people like probably guiding that. But like Nyla Rose just has like it. Like Nyla Rose is like, she should be on fucking TV. I don't think she had to learn most of that. That's just like a lot of presence, just like always.
Well, she has an acting background and has been on TV.
Sure.
Yeah. And was the star of a TV show. Which I mean, I know it's a different skill set, but like, yeah.
But she's just got it. Like it's not that different from maybe The Rock's background, who was on national TV for football shit too. Like, you know, it's like you kind of see that stuff, but it's like she's so good at playing to the mics too. Like she at one point press slams Hikaru Shida over the barricade onto a roulette table.
Yes!
That is just draped on top of like a bad folding table, which is very good. And then she just, you know, she just goes, always bet on black. And then like walks around to beat the shit out of her some more, which is really good. It had actually been a while since I've seen a Nyla Rose match, because I think I saw her win the title. And this was like the last, this is like the only one I've seen since then. And I don't know. I just feel like she's getting better and better and better.
She's definitely getting better.
Which is amazing.
I even noticed that bit, especially about the like asides to the camera and things like that, that awareness that you're speaking of. And
yeah,
I still know very little about the actual craft here. Of course, I'm just kind of learning. But like I even picked up on that, like how good she was at like mugging for the camera and like knowing exactly what to say when and where to look when and just being like on point with all of this. It was so much fun to watch her.
It really just pulls you in. It pulls you in like really effectively. And she's really good. She's been good at that since day one, but it's like she's putting a lot of stuff together now. I mean, it's she's awesome.
This I think was like the first match where I felt like she really had all the pieces in place for me. As much as I've enjoyed her prior stuff, like especially that first match with Riho on the first episode of Dynamite. Like this one like really really did it for me in a big way. I feel like her and Hikaru Shida are very good choices for this style of, so like you noticed there were people in the audience, right? Those are all wrestlers.
I was gonna
Those
say were all... like they looked like teammates or like I don't know. They seem too into it to be just like a normal audience, but okay, that makes perfect sense that they were wrestlers.
Yeah, those are wrestlers.
Gotcha.
Those are wrestlers who weren't on the show.
Gotcha.
And that's what they've been doing for their no audience shows is they've been having just wrestlers in the audience.
Okay.
But because of that, like you have them trying like kind of trying to make up for the lack of actual audience energy. Mm. It still doesn't like, it's not a replacement.
Sure.
And I feel like Hikaru Shida and Nyla Rose were like the perfect pair to do a match like this for that type of basically no audience, but kind of audience.
Sure.
Because they play like, there's a part where Nyla and Hikaru are like by the barricade in front of two wrestlers who, Big Swole and Sunny Kiss. And like the chemistry between all of them is really, really, really good in that segment. And like you can totally see like Hikaru Shida and Nyla Rose like feeding off of Sunny and Swole's like audience, like collaborator energy. But I don't know. It's just like I feel like their performance backgrounds doing multiple kinds of things like really lended well to this kind of like the way the energy worked in this match in ways that I thought were lacking in a lot of the other matches on this card. Like I didn't think all of the performers, even like very, very seasoned performers, were able to like keep the energy up the way Shida and Rose did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because a lot of people talk about how the crowd has to, like, kind of feed the action. But I think, like, really great performers can go out and have an engaging match without having to feed off of that. And even though you're right, like, when they're feeding off of other good performers in the crowd, because I noticed that too, like, Big Swole and Sunny Kiss are, like, also very good at a lot of that kind of, like, bringing you in.
That's
the thing. Like, I've been so turned off by the no crowd wrestling stuff because there's something so, especially with the WWE stuff with no crowds or limited crowds or whatever, they've started to put plexiglass up sometimes.
So weird.
Which is really weird.
And WWE's also started doing the, they have like trainees, I guess, right, and people from the performance center.
Oh, sure. Okay.
As their audience.
But it's got such a different vibe. Like, it's such a bummer. And this is one of the only no audience matches I've seen this summer that I wasn't just kind of like bummed out by, just kind of watching. Like, this was this basically seemed like a regular match to me, which was I don't know, that's as big of a compliment as I can give it, honestly, because things are so weird right now.
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah, it's on that note, and this is, you know, coming from an MMA fan who has now been watching no crowd fights for a couple of months. Like, MMA didn't take much of a break, which I know we've talked about and how that's very complicated. But, like, I've gotten completely used to, and I actually really like the no crowd fights in MMA right now. I actually really love hearing the corners. I love hearing the specific instructions. Like, I love, on a strategic level, it's so much more interesting to me, you know, as somebody who just loves the technique aspect of this and just wants to understand it so badly, of that kind of aspect. But, like, it's such a different feel, of course, for pro wrestling. But I just agree, like, this, they made it work. They made it feel like a normal match and like a very high energy normal match. We talked about how much the energy was great in the Pride match last weekend because so much of it was that crowd energy and people being so happy to be there and so excited. And like every other person is wearing like something with a rainbow on it, right? Like it is a Pride match and it feels like a Pride match. But this somehow like I guess part of my thesis here, again, as an uninitiated, was that they used the space so well that it didn't really even matter that there weren't that many people there because they were throwing each other into poker tables, like, and giant chips, you know, and things like that. Something about that was like, there was almost like an embracing of like, well, this isn't normal, so let's do this shit instead. And it worked. But also, y'all can tell me if that's not really.
No, that's absolutely true. Yeah. And like the main event for this was a pre-filmed match that was two teams in a football stadium, in the actual Jacksonville Jaguars football stadium.
Wow.
Yeah. That included a horse being ridden, a fight in a bar, complete with, you know, bottle smashing and then a break to drink for the guy who drinks alcohol to pour himself a drink and his tag team partner who doesn't drink to pour himself a glass of milk.
Wow.
There was like a little swimming pool and like it was like completely bananas and something that you could really only do with no crowd.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, like that was like what they like. I think the most successful things they did that night were things you could kind of only do with like little with like, you know, either no crowd or like a very small crowd. Even though like, oh, that was.
That's my dog.
Oh, your doggies are excited for it. Ori just rubbed up on my mic as well a minute ago. So like, sorry if there's also animal noises here.
Well, I don't have any animals. I'm sorry. So it's all right. Oh. It's not your fault. Oh. But yeah, this match was so good that like it didn't even occur to me, John, until John was talking about the roulette table setup that like the vibe at Double or Nothing when I was watching a lot of the other matches in this space very much felt like casino themed bar mitzvah.
I can see that.
Like big budget casino themed bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like the, you know, like the chips would, like the giant chips would say, like, you know, Benji, you're a man. On them. We love you. Love mom and dad.
And then Benji gets thrown into one, you know, as a, yeah. You know, for fun, yeah. For fun, right? To celebrate. Yeah.
But like they did, this didn't, they managed to like not feel that way to me in this match.
Sure.
But yeah. Like, I don't know, the all the great knee stuff, all the, like, yeah. Stuff to the head, all the, like, the tables and the chairs. It was just, like, I don't know, I really, really enjoyed this. I also really, really enjoy Hikaru Shida. I think she's really yeah. good.
Yeah.
I was not ready to say goodbye to Nyla Rose as champion. I wanted her to be the first champion. She's been my champion, like, since they decided there was a belt.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She's still my champion in my heart. But I thought Shida did great. I loved her Tifa gear.
Yes!
She had like a little Tifa cosplay going on. It was really cute. Yeah.
And the like performance art in her walkout video. The like mirrored suit or whatever that was. And as she comes out and is Tifa, was super fun. I also like am just very, I probably fell in love with Nyla Rose, but also always have a place in my heart as the smaller person in my weight class in any fight I ever go into, I will always, always, always kind of root for the small underdog as well. Just be, you know, just having that little bit in my heart of like, I love it when the, you know, the smaller person wins against a bigger person as just like a, yeah, it's not all muscle. It's also occasionally you can win too. Not often, but occasionally. So, yeah.
I mean, then we should watch the stuff where Nyla Rose gets beaten by a much smaller person.
Yeah.
The first champion who was like 5 feet tall and 90 pounds.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hikaru Shida is like huge compared to Riho.
Oh, really?
Compared to Riho. Yeah. Because, yeah, Hikaru Shida is what, like 5'5"?
Yeah. She is, I think, roughly the average build of most women wrestlers in mainstream wrestling. But like Riho is like tiny.
Like the belt looks huge on Riho.
Yeah, it did. It looked really, really big.
And it looks like really small. Like, and it's a very small belt.
Yeah, it is a small belt. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was because their inaugural champion is a
borrower. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love that.
So, but yeah, this is a continuation of the Pride Month matches, as Nyla is the first openly trans wrestler to get signed to like a major company in the United States to be a champion in the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. She got a wife. Oh,
she got a wife. She got a Twitter account.
What is it? Because I'm going to follow it right live on air.
Oh, Nyla.
Nyla Rose. Yeah.
Just Nyla Rose.
Well, her wife also has a Twitter account, and her wife follows me now because I don't know why, but she does. And I was like, excited.
My God. Well, I'm officially in love. It's Hungry for More. Nyla Rose Beast.
Nyla Rose Beast.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, we're following now. Following my new queen. She's my new queen, and I love her very much. Oh, incredible.
Yeah, she's very good.
I'm sorry. Now I'm looking at her Twitter, and like one of her recent tweets is just a picture of like a fucked up old like payphone. It just says, what kind of Pokemon is this? Thinky face.
She's great.
Yeah. She's like really funny. She's great on commentary.
Yeah. Yeah, she's really funny.
I guess one of her friends found an article I wrote about like my wish list for AEW action figures, and one of my wish list items, because at the time she was posting a lot of thirst traps.
Oh, awesome.
So my my wish list items were Championship Edition Nyla Rose and then Thirst Trap Twitter post Nyla Rose. And she took a screenshot and like just started, like, started making fun of, like, not making, it was a little bit making fun of me, but I was thrilled.
In a good way, hopefully.
It was a very good way.
I was excited to see that.
She thought I was funny. So, and I have to now brag that Nyla Rose thought I was funny.
Yeah.
I would brag about that.
That's worthy of a brag. Yeah.
That is a good thing to brag about, I think, personally.
Also, she did an interview, early on in the, I think it was like before Dynamite started airing, she did an interview where she was wearing two separate plastic tattoo chokers at once.
Oh. Yeah.
Which is like, yeah, I've like absolutely stand ever since. I was like, okay, no.
That's such a fucking powerful choice. This is very good.
That's like a long necked person choice that I could never pull off. Yeah. Like, I do not have the real estate for two chokers.
She is a queen, an absolute queen. I love her. Thank you for introducing me to my next love in my life.
I'm so happy.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, commentary on these match on the women's matches in AEW is hit and miss, often miss.
Yeah, often miss. Yeah.
But like, they are correct when they say, like, you know, she's only like 6 or 7 years into her wrestling career. She is just good. Like, she's watching her just this in the past year. She's gotten so much better and she's just going to like keep getting better. And that's really exciting.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
If I can, I would be very happy to just like go the rest of my life without having to hear JR say big woman.
I won't get into it, but it's like having had 30 plus years of listening to JR and then like there was a really big break between like the last time I'd really listened to his commentary and now, I'm just like, that guy, it's no good. Yeah. You should hang it up. Hang up that cowboy hat.
One last thing I wanted to say about this match before possibly going on to section two is just how much I loved the sort of exhausted exaltation.
That Sheeta has. Oh, exhausted exaltation is like one of the most important things you can do as a wrestler.
Oh shit! Okay, it was really good. Yeah. It was very real. I loved it. I bought it like all the way. I was just like, oh, this is extremely good. So that was another awesome moment.
Because like you can be tired, like being tired for real, obviously, like they went for like something like 20 minutes.
Sure.
Like you're going to get tired for real. But like being able to transform that tiredness and make it legible as a like into your performance is like,
it's very good.
To me, like one of like the most impressive skills you can do.
Yeah.
You can have like and develop. And she does a really good job with it. Her like emotional work in this was actually like excellent.
Yeah.
That she was just like, she went in really serious and pissed and was just like, you like really felt the laser focus that she had. I thought this was a killer match and like one of the best matches in the AEW women's division so far.
Oh,
which AEW's women's division has had like, I have some major issues with. I don't think they do much with storylines. I don't think their character work is very good from a like I think the extra performers do a good job, but I don't think they're given a lot to do. I don't think there's enough focus being put on like storylines and stuff with the women in the company.
Yeah.
Because
the roster is great. Like the roster itself is very good, I think.
The problem with the roster is that it's mostly pretty inexperienced.
Yeah, that's true.
In terms of time,
yeah.
Except for the people who don't speak English.
Right.
Like most of your English, like, so there's like a communication barrier there. And there's also like you're expecting, I guess the expectation is that these women will pitch their own ideas and pitch their own storylines.
Right.
And if you've only been in the game for a short while and you're still getting a handle on it, you're still getting a handle on the entirety of wrestling performance. You don't have like the power to kind of, you know, back your claim of what you want to do. It's just, it doesn't seem to me to be a very smart way of booking.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, a lot of the men's division is legitimately like 20 to 30 year veterans and stuff. So that's,
and the people who run the difference. Company and who, you know, are the, you know, executive vice presidents of the company. So they, and have a lot of experience booking storylines rather than like just doing indie shows and getting bookings and like paying rent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is where most of the women on the roster are at in terms of experience. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Hell of a match. Hell of a match.
Yeah.
But that seems like a very fair sort of systemic commentary there for sure. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But hopefully that'll get better. And we will get to see like cool storylines and more Nyla and her good faces. And one thing I also noticed about this match that I've forgotten is that she has very good freckles on her nose.
Yeah, she has really cute freckles. It's true. They are very, very cute. I like those.
Okay. And that's all I have to say.
It's great. She has cute freckles. It's
she
great.
Does.
It's great.
I love her.
I love her too now. Now I love her. And we're going to, I'm going to try to make her laugh on Twitter one day too. I'm not trying to top you. I just now also feel the love is all. And like,
It's like, once again, it's the Predator handshake.
Exactly.
But in the middle, it's just loving Nyla Rose.
Yes, it's beautiful. The Predator handshake is all like, all about what we do here. It's beautiful. We're coming from different worlds and showing love. And this time it's for Nyla Rose.
Flexing. Yeah. And flexing our biceps as hard as we can.
Hell yeah. I love it. Speaking of flexing biceps, yeah, maybe that works. do we want to move on to the MMA section here today?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right. So I'm going to set this up a little bit. And again, I want to hear a lot of John's thoughts here as a person who hasn't watched MMA in a bit.
Yeah.
But this is very much also in keeping with Pride because Amanda Nunes, we've talked about her a bit on this show, so I'm not going to belabor it too much. I'll just go over the kind of really pertinent facts here of she's the only openly queer champion, I believe, in all of UFC history. And she's a double weight division champion. And she is engaged to her awesome fiance, who's also a UFC fighter, also like a number 5 ranked in her weight class, Nina Ansaroff, who is might actually be using Nunes's last name already a little bit. A little bit unclear. I tried to kind of find that, but whichever, it's totally fine. She is heavily
Danielle's
pregnant.
Got the scoop. Danielle's been in like, the marriage certificates department. She went to the courthouse, asked them to pull the file. Appears Amanda Nunes is already.
They're just so cute.
Last name.
They're just so cute. They are the most goals couple in the universe. Two like fucking badass fighters who are really funny and adorable together, and they're always doing like cute Instagram photos. There is totally like I'm just gonna tell you about this one. Like a alleged fart video. Where there's like an alleged fart from Amanda and Nina's laughing at her. They're just like the cutest fucking couple in the universe. And Nina is pregnant with the couple's first child. They're going to have a daughter in September. So going into this fight, Amanda is the unbelievable favorite. She's a 2-division champ, 145 pounds and 135 pounds. In the last couple of years, she has become like she went from being just really, really dominant and really, really good to like the best. One of the best fighters who's ever done it kind of thing, like just world champion, world class. And she on Saturday became the very first person of any gender in the UFC to successfully defend both titles in 2 weight classes. Nobody's ever done that before. And she made it look easy. Felicia Spencer is no slouch by any means. She's a very good fighter. She's a really good grappler.
She is tough.
She is tough.
Whoa.
As they come. Tough
I mean,
as they
she
come.
She took a lot of of shit for 5 rounds.
Oh yeah. She
like
got
that,
beat
that
up.
That was wild. She got beat up bad.
Yeah.
Like, but she took it.
Yeah, she did and was like game for it, kind of.
Yeah.
She did not look like there are definitely times where a fighter, very few fighters will actually say, like, I need to stop A lot of times a coroner needs to do that if they're really getting the shit kicked out of them. She looked like she kind of wanted to keep going. So it was kind of one of those.
Yeah, she was game. I mean, like, that's tough to watch. Like, that's tough to watch, to see someone's face transform like that during a match. Like, it's tough to watch because you just kind of know what's happening. But, like, I mean, she never looked out of control. Like, it's so complex, and we can get into it, I guess. But it's like Amanda Nunes was so dominant, yet Spencer was always just kind of like, I don't know what to do, but I'm hanging in there, you know, like, and that was a really interesting thing to watch. Yeah. So,
anyway. And one thing as well with that, and very much in regards to that, Amanda looked like she was playing with her food for half of this fight. God, her fight name is the Lioness. And it was like, she looks like when my cats are like playing with a bug or something, or like only with the most powerful muscles you can imagine, in a relatively small size, like compacted into like one of the best fighters at this size, genuinely ever to do it. Just absolutely. The fight where she kind of dominated Cyborg, who at that point was also thought of as one of the best in the world, was like kind of the turning point, I feel like, for Nunes's like utter domination in this sport. The real problem here is like nobody knows who she should fight next. Nobody is this good. The only person who's really given her a hard time in the last few years has been Valentina Shevchenko, who's the 125-pound champion. And they've fought twice. Shevchenko has lost both times, but it's been really close, like actually very, very close. She's the only one who can kind of give her a run for her money, but she's 20 pounds smaller. Like it genuinely sucks for her to be that much smaller. So there's a whole lot going on with that. But another thing I want to say about Amanda Nunes that also makes her kind of pride goals for me is how much respect and affection she has for her opponents. Like, she's all fucking business in the cage, but she also does the handshake at the beginning and ending of rounds. When she wins the belt, she is like absolutely exalted. And the first thing she does is goes over to Felicia, hugs her, lets her wear the belt, and is like just a fucking class act about it. She's not just like, fuck you, dude. Like, she's like, you're a champion too, kind of thing. And like giving her hugs and giving her a lot of attention and affection and like respect for going in there and doing it and being as tough as she was, which I think is amazing. Like, she just has incredible sportsmanship as well as is this good.
I have such a wrestling brain, so I kind of want to know what Elby thinks of this match before I talk about how I feel about Amanda Nunes.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, so I actually, most of my comments are the title of this chat that I created.
Oh,
yeah. So if we can revisit that, we are recording with Discord. I made a little group chat with the three of us and then did rename it, Ouch, Ouch, My Head and Face.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much where I come down with this fight, is Ouch, Ouch. I never want to get hit by anyone, but especially not Amanda Nunes.
Yeah.
I'm really glad she's chosen the UFC and not, I don't know, world domination. I'm glad she's a good person with good sportsmanship. It's some real with great power comes great responsibility shit, because I am convinced she could punch the whole world at once.
Yes.
And just take over and rule over all of us like some kind of high fantasy warlord.
Yeah. We like a lot of these billionaires like Elon Musk, they talk about terraforming. Have they just asked Amanda Nunes to punch the earth? Because
she could do. Yeah.
Because I feel like, oh my God, like,
the boring, what, we don't need to.
No, we don't need these companies. Idiots. No,
not at all.
She could just punch through the ground.
Yeah.
Like, I hadn't seen her before, and I didn't watch the full fight. I was given like the slow motion highlights.
Yeah. I feel like those are just really fun for seeing like perfect technique. So that's what that's what I picked for this.
Yeah. Perfect technique. Also of like, like One Punch Man shit. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm shocked that, what's the name of the opponent?
Felicia Spencer.
That Felicia Spencer didn't just explode.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that like Amanda Nunes was obviously winning this thing from bell to bell. Like,
oh yeah. Oh,
like
yeah.
There was no doubt, like Amanda Nunes was never in trouble, but like the fact that Spencer fucking hung in there and survived, as far as I know, survived.
Yeah.
Well, she didn't explode living. On impact.
Yeah.
Which is what I would do.
I mean, genuinely, Felicia Spencer must be the real fucking deal too, because that was just like, that was a beating.
Yes. No. I would explode on impact. I feel like most things would explode on impact.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my main thoughts was, oh my God. I actually really would like to see like a full fight of hers just to get a better. But like, this is like some of the most wowed I have been by seeing someone's technique and like just sheer power.
Yeah, you definitely didn't. You definitely didn't undersell Nunes's dominance. Like, I mean, like I really like, this was the first match I've seen of Nunes. Like I've probably seen highlights and stuff. And obviously you've talked about her for, you know, as long as you've worked here.
Big fan. If you can't tell.
Yeah. But it's like, you're right. And, this is, an unfortunate comparison because the guy is such a fucking bummer. But like, she reminds me of Floyd Mayweather as a boxer who is an absolute bummer of a person, which Amanda Nunes is not. But like, I've watched a few of his fights and he's if you don't appreciate the act of fighting, they're boring.
Sure.
In the sense that you know, I think a casual might want to come in and look for a knockout or look for a really flashy submission or, you know, whatever. But if you really know fighting and study it, it's like it is astonishing how good Nunes is at just controlling every single part of the fight. And a lot of boxers like Mayweather and others have kind of made their careers doing that. Does Nunes have like a lot of scores decisions? Like, is that frequent for her? Does she often submit or knock out her opponent?
She has a lot of both.
Okay.
Especially later on in her career. I think her record is like 20-3. She has a couple of losses. She actually does have a couple of losses. Let's see. Let's look at that record. Which came early, and like her sort of problem back in the day when she did have, some losses, was that she would gas out. She was always incredible. She was always like a really, really talented fighter. And she also, by the way, has a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Like, you see how good her striking is? Sorry. Yeah, she's 24-0. So she does have 4 losses. She would gas out a little bit. And if people could kind of survive her at first, you know, then she could like, you know, Alexis Davis actually has a win over her way early, and Kat Zingano, other really good bantamweights, basically.
Yeah.
Because she fought at bantamweight for a long time. Still does, actually. Yeah, she still has the bantamweight belt as well. I believe against Jermaine Durandamy, that also went 5 rounds, but was like a very obvious unanimous decision.
I mean, her last loss was 6 years ago.
Oh, yeah. It's been a very long time. Jesus. It's been a very long time. She would get, she would get.
Gassed out. LB, she beat Shayna Baszler in 2015.
Yeah.
There's the stats right there, I guess. Yeah, I just did not see the.
I didn't know
she beat Shayna Baszler. Oh, wow.
I didn't realize that. Yeah.
So when I was watching this live, like you and I kind of exchanged texts about like what a good sport Amanda Nunes is, and like I agree with you. Like, she seems like a total class act. I love it. My wrestling brain though is just like when I watch a champion be that dominant, like you said, play with her food, and then just be like, here's the belt, you can wear it. For a second, I go, oh, this is a fucking goody two shoes face looking for a heel. Like, this is like perfect shit of like, like fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger going to a state fair and like arm wrestling a bunch of kids and then acting like that they can beat him, but then just winning and being like, ha ha ha, and tussling their hair. It's like, okay, sure. Like it's a like watching that, I was a little like, all right, we get it, Amanda. Like, I don't know. Like, I think I take a lot of that on its face, and she seems genuinely cool. Like her post fight interview was really sweet and yeah. And like and cool, and she seems great. But I did see some of that, and I'm like, oh boy. Like yeah. someone's going to come out of the woodwork and be like the shittiest person to kind of match this energy. So yeah. I don't know. It's I'm looking forward to that. This was my first UFC event like a decade. And
I'm so excited.
I really enjoyed it. So.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. I don't only just want to infect people with MMA brain, because that's also a curse. But like, but when it comes to like really great fights and fighters that like feel pretty good to support as well, like Amanda Nunes I'm not saying everything she said is perfect. I'm not saying everything she's done is perfect, but she seems in all of her interactions to be a pretty classy fighter classy person, and yes. has been like just a really. It's just really fucking awesome that she's been openly queer for so long, much longer than a lot of people have been out, you know, and has always had her girlfriend, now fiance, and I guess soon to be wife and co-parent of her child, there in the corner with her. You can hear Nina screaming for her like during all the matches. And even years ago, before she was the champ, you know, considered the most dominant ever, the commentators, like to their credit, like especially John Anik, who's has said some good things over the years, comments on that and talks about that and is like, and her, you know, her partner here, blah blah blah, like her fiance here, blah blah blah, like giving that kind of credit in a way, like that meant a lot to me, especially a few years ago before it was necessarily the thing you would hear in sports in such a male dominated macho kind of environment. Like hearing that was very, very cool for me, and her being out. She's given some interviews about that where she said, and she is like a native Brazilian Portuguese speaker. So, you know, sometimes in the interviews there's both like, you can't always tell if like she's just so excited and not quite getting everything out, or, you know, which is completely fair. Like she speaks great English. It's not like any kind of problem or anything. But like she said things like, hey, if I'm gay and I can do it, like I hope that means something to other people. And like, it's just really beautiful. Yeah. And she did try to kind of say, this was like a little bit of a charming moment. I think she was trying to say something really positive about affecting positive change in the world at the end of her interview on Saturday. But I think she may have just been like so excited that it didn't quite come out. And like Joe Rogan is just sitting there like, yeah, like just like didn't quite know how to like, yeah, definitely. You know, like there was just that moment of
like, he says, yeah, definitely to everything.
Yeah, he does.
For sure.
I was about to say the exact same thing. It's like, yeah, it's pretty much how he
is. Like the last thing he's heard, he will say, yeah, definitely to it. But I think that is really impressive. Just like, I'm not a big sports person, but I do know like the amount of homophobia in real sports.
Yeah.
I mean, wrestling as well, but real sports and especially like women's sports. They're like, it's a very specific kind of homophobia and a very specific kind of like pressure to be closeted, in like every single, you know, every single different sport that women compete in, you know, all of them. Yeah. And like that Amanda Nunes has been out for this whole, like all this time and is so public about it. Like that's really, really cool. And I have a lot of respect for that. I also have a lot of respect for the fact that according to the UFC stats you just sent me, her reach is 69 inches.
It's perfect. It's perfect. If only she were also born on 420, but it's okay.
Oh, that's who's going to defeat her. Is the person born on 420 with a 69-inch reach.
Computer, show me all MMA fighters born on 420.
Honest to God, that's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take. Oh, my God. Well, I'm so glad I could share my absolute joy about Amanda Nunes.
I have looked up pictures of her. I am now looking at pictures of her and Nina Ansarov, and they're so cute. Especially this picture where Amanda's wearing a little suspenders outfit, which I always love. I always love some suspenders.
It's so good.
Sorry. The only MMA fighter listed on the Wikipedia page for April 20th is Nate Marquardt. So that's that's out.
He's out. He's like a welterweight, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe a middleweight. I don't know. It's out of the picture. Don't worry. Somebody will come.
Somebody will emerge.
But for now, I am so happy we have our queen, the lioness, Amanda Nunes. Also, like, really quick note. I know we have to go really soon, but I just also genuinely love that she does not feel like she needs to dress super feminine or anything like that. I know a lot of women athletes have that sort of pressure to be like, oh, because you're in this kind of macho sport, definitely like wear pink or wear dresses or wear whatever. And anybody, of course, who wants to do that should do that. But like, she does have like a really, like, I just am attracted to this. I think it's wonderful. I think it's really cool when like women are like super comfortable being like a little butch or being like a little, like having a little bit of a mask presentation. It's, oh my God. It just makes me so happy. Oh my God, this picture! this picture of Nina and Amanda, and they look so good and they're so cute. And oh my God, Amanda's wearing like a little like blazer and that's it. And
it's like a blazer vest and a string bikini. Like a bikini. Oh. And it's the most like rooftop pool.
Yeah.
It's the most rooftop pool like. Like when Dyke Day would have their like a party at the rooftop standard pool downtown, like that. This is the fit.
This is the look. It is so good.
Like a little bit fuckboy DJ girl, but like it's so powerful, and they look so happy. And Nina's holding this glass of wine, and I just like love. Also, Nina's like dorky pirate tattoos.
Dorky ass nautical tattoos.
Yes. Oh, I love
that. So endearing. Oh my gosh, she's got like a compass and an anchor and like a little boat wheel. Yeah. Oh my gosh, is she like into pirate stuff?
I guess so. That's so cute. I think they're both like adorable nerds who are so good at punching. Like that's kind of like genuinely their vibe. And I love it. goals for days, goals for weeks, days, like goals for life, honestly.
I want to send them this like kids book I had when I was a kid for their daughter about like women pirates.
Yes!
It's like a big part of why I am the person I am today. I wonder if I could find it and then find their address and be like, hi, I don't know you, but your kid needs this book.
Your baby needs this book. Thank you.
Read to your baby about female pirates.
Oh, I love it so much. I'm so glad. Ah, thank you. Thank you both for being here on this beautiful journey with me, this beautiful worshiping of our lioness and queen, and also our queen, Nyla Rose. Two queens, really, that I'm very, very proud.
Good ep for queens.
Oh, yeah. Two wifed up queens.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. There's the name of the episode. Is two wifed up queens. Uh-huh. That's it. Thank you everybody so much for listening. I know we have to go to a meeting, so I'll wrap it up. Thank you everybody for listening. We hope you enjoyed your combat sports entertainment journey with us. Please do rate and review our podcast because it does help us. Really appreciate it. And listen to all of our stuff at fanbyte.com/podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Fanbyte Media, at Fanfight, FANFYTE, of course, on Instagram at Fanbyte, on TikTok at Fanbyte, and of course on fanbyte.com. You can watch our streams at twitch.tv/fanbyte, and you should definitely check out all of our good wrestling coverage at fanbyte.com/wrestling. LB, where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at HunkTears. Again, like Danielle just said, check out our wrestling coverage. Wrestling is like, it's all starting back up again. So we are, like, our wrestling coverage is kind of getting back to the normal pace. So check all that out. We're going to have a bunch of New Japan coverage coming up soon.
Oh, I'm so excited about that, Obi. I am so excited about
the New Japan Cup.
All right. Sorry. I just had to say that.
Yeah, it's going to be fucking sick. Yeah. The New Japan Cup this year. So, Danielle, we watched some of the G1 in previous episodes.
Yeah.
New Japan does these tournaments. Usually in the early spring, they do a single elimination heavyweight tournament. And then they do a round robin junior heavyweight tournament. It is now the summer, they have combined both of them to be a single elimination open weight tournament. So there's going to be a ton of matchups that we've never seen before.
Ooh.
Against smaller guys and bigger guys. Yeah. It's going to be so fucking cool. I'm so jazzed. Maybe we can watch some of it.
We should for sure.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be very cool. So keep an eye out for all of that. Fanbyte.com/wrestling. Fanfight on Twitter if you just want to see the articles. Hunk Tears on Twitter if you want to see my opinions on stuff like Kate Bush lyrics and which ones I think are secretly annoying.
Good. I like that. Thank you for that. John, where can we find you online?
You can find me losing my mind about Khajiit lore at Floppy Adult on Twitter. Yeah.
Extremely good.
Oh, man.
I am so happy about that. You can find me if you want to, probably talking about MMA way too much, at Danielle R.I. Shall we do a punch sound effect for this one? Should we do just because we talked about ouch, ouch, my face? Like, should we go out on a punch, do we think?
Yeah, let me just get those barbed ones out of my head.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Ready?
Wipe on three. Clean. Okay.
One, two, three. Ow! The face!
I just punched my hand for real. It hurts. They both hurt.
Be safe. Bye.
Bye.